Welcome to the Association of Certified Sanctions Specialists video message, Top 5 Sanctions Developments That Everybody Should Know. And this is the June 2021 edition. My name is Saskia Rietbroek, and I will cover 5 notable sanctions developments that happened last month. Let the countdown begin. As you probably saw on the news, on May 23rd, a Ryanair passenger plane flying from Greece to Lithuania and traveling through Belarus airspace was diverted and forced to land in Minsk, the Belarus capital. On board was a young Belarus journalist who had been living in exile abroad, and he and his girlfriend were detained after the plane landed. And Belarus President Lukashenko has claimed that he rerouted the plane because of a bomb threat not to seize the journalist. Big international incident. So let's take a look at the sanctions response, because that's what's relevant for our video today. So look at it. Ryanair is an Irish carrier. Ireland is part of the EU. The plane left from Athens, Greece, an EU country, was flying over Belarus, a non-EU member country, and was on its way to Lithuania, an EU member country. So, of course, you're going to get a reaction from the European Union. So let's take a look at what they've done. Several governments of the countries in the EU called the incident state piracy, and so far, Europe banned its airlines from using the Belarus airspace and to keep Belarus planes out of the skies. But they're also looking at sanctioning targeted sectors that play a central role in the Belarus economy. This is to really punish the President Lukashenko from Belarus. And sectors that may be affected include bond sales, the oil sector, and potash. This is a fertilizer crop that is a big export from Belarus. What happened in the US? The US is closely coordinating its response with its partners in the EU and with Greek and Lithuanian officials. And a week later, the US already took actions. Of course, there were US citizens on board. And on May 29, the Biden administration said that it would reimpose economic sanctions on certain state-owned companies in Belarus. Further, the EU is expected to agree a new package of sanctions by June 21. Those are the sanctions that I just mentioned. And so we'll see what happens there. The previous rounds of sanctions from the EU mainly blacklists officials, providing travel bans. And so far, it hasn't really, you know, affected Lukashenko. He largely ignored the previous 3 rounds of EU sanctions. The next one, on number 4, a bit of a legal technical discussion here related to EU blocking statute. As you may know, the EU blocking statute prohibits EU companies from complying with certain US sanctions. And this blocking statute really creates dilemmas for EU companies. Can they terminate a contract with an Iranian SDN just because that would create exposure under US sanctions? It's really a catch-22 for many EU operators because they face 2 directly opposing legal regimes, namely EU sanctions that allow companies to do business with Iran and US sanctions that do not allow them to do business with Iran. So far, the blocking regulations haven't been, you know, are not very clear, and guidance is lacking. So that's why I think it's important to mention here that guidance now did come out. The Advocate General Hogan delivered an opinion, and 2 things were clarified. The first one deals with the question on whether the applicability of the blocking statute requires a written document or court order from the United States. So basically a court order telling you that you are violating US sanctions. And the answer is no. So it's not necessary to receive this first. Broad interpretation here, no surprise in my opinion. And another issue that was clarified was actually more interesting, I thought. It provides clarity as to whether the motivation for a termination of a contract by an EU company with an Iranian business, whether the company that ends the contract needs to prove that the reason for the termination of the contract was something other than compliance with US sanctions. So the answer is yes. the EU business should remain prepared to explain and justify the reasons for their business decisions of ending contracts with Cuba and Iran, and to be able to demonstrate that these decisions did not violate the EU blocking statute. So that is, you know, pretty clear. So giving no reason, for example, is not going to help you when you want to end a contract. But there is a way out. If you don't want to do business with an Iranian company, you can bring up ethical reservations, for example, human rights, social responsibility. But to successfully defend your company against a claim of violating the blocker statute, you really have to show that you have such an economic and social responsibility policy in place. So that is something that is important to have. On May 18, the U.S. Treasury Department issued a report to Congress under Section 5B of the Hong Kong Autonomy Act. The report was going to identify, I thought, foreign financial institutions that knowingly conduct a significant transaction. That's a definition that is quite vague. With foreign persons identified in the Section 5A report. So what was that again? The Section 5A report identified, I think, about 10 foreign persons last fall. So the Section 5B report was going to identify banks and other financial institutions that conduct business with these previously listed companies in the fall. So the first 5B report came out in December. No FFIs, foreign financial institutions, were identified. Now the second report came out in May. And again, no foreign financial institutions were identified. So big relief for financial institutions, especially in Hong Kong. They were spared again, for now, from secondary sanctions under the Hong Kong Economy Act. On May 17, the EU agreed to extend or prolong for the second time the sanctions framework regarding sanctions or restrictive measures, as the EU calls them, against cyber attacks. The extension is for 1 year. So what do these sanctions do? They respond to malicious cyber attacks. This framework was adopted in the EU 2 years ago, exactly 2 years ago, in May 2019. And it allows the EU to designate persons and entities that are involved in major cyber attacks that threaten the EU or its member states. These measures can include asset freezes or travel bans. Have they been used so far? Yes, twice. In July 2020, the EU imposed sanctions against Russian, Chinese, and North Korean hackers that were involved in cyber attacks. And a second time in October last year, they designated Russian hackers for a cyber attack that took place a couple of years ago that hit the German parliament. So what can we expect further? We can expect, I think, further listings under the cyber attack sanctions framework, especially because of the recent cyber attacks against the EU, against hospitals in a number of member states. And on number one, in May, negotiators met again in Vienna with a new round of talks about the JCPOA. These talks were among, you know, the people that were talking were the world powers, Russia, China, France, UK, Germany, EU, and of course, Iran, about restoring the 2015 nuclear deal that that the United States left. Main issue at stake, of course, bringing the U.S. back into the nuclear deal with Iran. And here's some quotes from the chair, Enrique Mora, of the JCPOA Joint Commission, and Robert Malley from the Special Envoy for Iran about these talks. According to press reports, just restoring the old deal may not go far enough. The US actually would like to go further to reaching what Secretary of State Blinken of the United States has called a longer and stronger agreement. So one that stops Iran from gathering nuclear material for generations to stop its missile tests and to end support of terrorist group. Well, to me, I think it's going to be a stretch. There's a new round of talks that starts in June, on June 10, and that would leave only 8 days to reach an agreement before the Iran presidential elections take place on June 18, which is likely to usher in a hardline president. This was it for this month. Thank you so much for listening. On behalf of ACSS, have a great day and see you next month. Thank you.